and welcome to the Off the Canvas podcast with me, Nick Hobbs. Now, Christmas can be a great time for some, but a real struggle for others. So over the course of December, we're speaking to people from the boxing world about their approach to the festive period. Our guest today is former middleweight world champion, Mr. Darren Barker. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Christmas, just a few days away for us. How are you feeling at the moment? You in the festive spirit of things?
I am, mate. Yeah, I am. It's a great time of year. It's fantastic now that I've got 3 children. I've got an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a newborn, 17 weeks now. So the 8-year-old and the 4-year-old are buzzing for it. But to be honest, Christmas has always been a sort of a strange time of year for the Barker family. My brother passed away on the 10th of December 12 years ago. So it's always a little bit of a tough time for us all. But yeah, certainly having kids now, it's cheered it up a little bit for me. And I'm very much in the mood, mate.
you mentioned your brother Gary there. For those that don't know, Darren, how close were you to? What sort of relationship did you have before he passed?
Well, look, we were, my family are very, very close, and I'm one of 4. Me, my brother Lee, my brother Gary, and my sister Daisy, and we're all very, very close. The family's so close, and me and Gary were very close, regardless of boxing. But boxing really brought us together, even more so. You know, I was saying that boxing is a very lonely sport. So if you have any friends or family that you can do it with, it just softens the blow a little bit. It just makes it that little bit more easier. And me and Gary, we bonded a lot through boxing. You know, if you're down, you can talk to each other about it. If you're buzzing, you can sort of share your elation and your happiness with your brother. And I was able to do that. When my brother passed, it was a real tough time for me, mate. It really was.
Listen to you talk about boxing. It's clear how much you love the sport and clearly how much it's meant to your life.
Yeah.
But after Gary passed, there was a period there where you sort of were considering turning your back on it altogether. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, you know, when he passed, it was very tough for me to get my head around it. I completely went off the rails. I was out drinking and fighting, just abusing the fact that my brother died, if I'm honest. You know, I was young. I was sort of immature, and I just had no respect for no one, including myself or family, and I was in a bad place. And like I say, boxing's hard enough as it is. And you know, with my brother being able to talk to him about it, when he went, I was like, look, I can't do this alone. It's too tough. And I sort of I took a bit of time out of the sport, and Tony Sims, his friend at the time, was seeing a sort of a therapist, if you like. That sounds like a strong word for him, but it was. He was sort of like almost like a life coach, and I started seeing this guy, and he helped me to start respecting myself and respecting my brother, respecting myself, my family, and yeah, he really helped me to sort of get on track. And I got back in the gym, and the rest is history. I sort of thought to myself, look, if I can't do it with my brother, I'm going to do it for him. And all of my achievements through the amateurs, we boxed together, but turning professional, everything I achieved was for him. You know, like British titles, Commonwealth titles, European titles, and that special night in Atlantic City, winning that IBF title, that's, you know, it's for him.
So you turned that pain and that grief into a positive and into this real motivation to drive you forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. I wish my brother was here so much. I really do. You know, like I was with, you know, my wife the day before the 10th on the 9th. We were in floods of tears, sort of talking about stories and remembering him. But you know, it's still really raw, and I wish I could have him back. But you know, I'm just proud that I was able to win that title for him. You know, it was I tried to turn that negative into a positive. You know, it would never, my life would never be the same ever. Yeah. But I'm proud of myself that I persevered, I dug in, and you know, I can always say that I won a world title and I was able to dedicate it to my brother. You know, it means a lot to me.
How much were you thinking about Gary before the Daniel Gill fight?
All the time.
In the build up to it, sorry.
All the time. You know, his memory, you know, he's the screensaver on my phone. I see him every day. Mm. And that has been my screensaver ever since he passed. So I think about my brother all the time. Then that's not just looking at an iPhone. But, you know, I'm always thinking of him. And the build up to that fight, he played a massive part. He really did. He spurred me on. He got me through some tough times. Training camp was hard. Injuries were playing up, and he got me through it. You know, I couldn't have done it without the sort of force of him. You know, he really did help me. Crazy.
We're talking a few weeks after Tyson Fury's fight with Deontay Wilder. We're in the 12th round. Everyone's going to know this already, but in the 12th round, he takes an enormous right hand and a left hook. He goes down and manages to get up when he seemed like he was dead. And he said that one of the things that got him up was him thinking about his fight with mental health and the message he wanted to give out there. Now, it's different with you, I understand that, but can you appreciate what he was saying there in terms of a motivation factor for you? Was you wanted to win this world title for your brother? Do you see any kind of similarities there?
I'm
reaching a bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, the fine line between winning and losing in boxing is exactly that. It's a fine line. And sometimes these little mental things can help you. You know, like the memory of my brother, trying to achieve my brother, gave me that extra whatever percent. And Tyson trying to be the spokesman for mental health, you know, and showing that, you know, you can get past adversity, you can come back from the brink of nothing, you know. And I think that gave him an extra percentage, you know. No doubt, he was robbed that night. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, fortunate enough that I was able to get up, you know, the equivalent for me in the sixth round. I was put down, was still a minute and a half to go. It was the longest 9-whatever seconds of my life. But that vision of my brother telling me to get up, you know, don't go out like this. You can do it. It's only pain. You're only fighting against pain. Get up. And I did. I got up and I see the fight out. And I see it, you know. Hearing Michael Buffer not only get my name right, but announce me as middleweight world champion, it will live with me forever, mate.
Well, I think it's an image that's going to live with a lot of fight fans forever. Such an incredible moment watching you, you basically collapse, don't you, when the announcement comes and you go down and, you know, you're incredibly emotional.
I'll just quickly tell you about that, mate. A lot of people say, you know, what an amazing moment that must be. Well, it is. I'm so proud of myself. But that actual moment where I'm on the floor crying, that's a lot of sadness there in that moment, because what I felt like is it was my life's work to win a world title, to make my brother proud, and it was almost like letting go. Yeah. So I'd won that title and I was letting go of it, and I was extremely sad. I was so, like, now I'm so proud, I'm so happy I won that title, but at that very moment it was a very sad moment. It was like actually letting go of my brother. It sort of sends shivers down my spine now a little bit, because I remember exactly how I was feeling. I was like, wow, that's it. I'm let go. And I collapsed to the floor, and there's a special moment where Tony Sims lifted me up, because he was with that journey with me the whole way, 10 years as a pro. You know, he said, get up, Darren Barnes, you're the champion of the world. And, you know, then I started feeling, you know, happy.
it is that moment, what you managed to achieve. So few fighters, even great fighters, might not necessarily get that iconic moment.
Yeah.
From the outside, you look in and you think, there's a fighter who went on to leave the sport probably at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Would you go along with that? Does that sound right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know where this question is going to lead to, but, you know, it is the perfect time. You know, Eddie always refers to me as, you know, one of the happiest retired fighters, you know, the perfect example of when a fighter should leave. And I am that, I guess. You know, I achieved more than I ever dreamt I would. You know, I achieved all my goals. certainty. You know, winning that world title, not only for me, my family, my brother. Financially, I've done well. I'm over the moon that all the boxes are ticked. You know, it was boxing. It's job done for me, if that makes sense.
But when do you start training camp for Sergio Martinez?
No. That was Coogan Cassius and his IFL TV camera getting me in trouble. I mean, look, I was asked a question. If I had to fight, come back, who would it be against? And why? And I went, look, Sergio Martinez is in training. He wanted to fight Chavez, but he could, you know, Chavez, for whatever reason, can't make the fight. He's probably about 20 stone. I said I'll fight him at Wembley, you know, revenge. Fight the National Stadium, but and you know, being we're all lunatic, all fighters are all mad. Anyone who gets in the ring is a nutcase. You know, you've got to be a little bit mentally unhinged because it's crazy getting in that ring. I was saying before, you know, I'm very competitive. I'm a naturally competitive man, and that gave me an edge in the ring, and nothing fulfilled that competitive nature that I had. Them winning a boxing match, you know, it really was everything to me. And the talk of being able to perhaps get that feeling again, it's hard to say no. You know, it's hard to let go of. But no, look, I'm very happy. I'm busy at work with the gyms. I've got some media commitments now. I'm working with Matchroom. I'm working with Sky. And, you know, I'm still involved in the sport, so I feel like I'm winning in that sense. You know.
Certainly, I'm still involved in the sport. I mean, who are the fighters that you enjoy spending a bit of time with in your new role as a pundit for Sky and for Matchroom?
Well, my co-host Chris Lloyd is a great geezer. I really enjoy his company, travelling up and down the country and recently in Monte Carlo. You know, I'm very lucky to be doing the show with him. The guys at Matchroom, Eddie, Frank and everyone else, there's huge loads of lot of names there that I could read out, but they know exactly who they are. Tony Tibbs, all them guys, you know, all the whole of this stable, Martin Ward, etc., all good lads, and the Doncaster Darren Barker, Dave Allen. He's been a new mate of mine that I really get on with, and he seems to come to all the shows and. He's Eddie Earn's panic button, isn't he? So
he seems to be with you, panic button, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Spencer Oliver as well. I mean, I'm very lucky that I get on with the majority of the boxing fraternity. You know, we're all, you know, there's only a handful of bad eggs out there. We all get on with each other. You know, it's good. I'm buzzing. And the amateur game as well. Like my old amateur club, Repton. I still see a lot of them. I'm on the committee at Repton. You know, I'll try and give back, try and help out the youngsters and you know, try and help them develop into future stars. So, yeah, the list goes on.
You're now seeing as well I suppose it's sort of the other side of boxing, not the competitive boxing side, but the keep fitters, which I'm sure for a long time you didn't want to spend any time with when you were training. But now there's a whole new world out there, isn't there? You own and run these 12x3 boxing gyms. Completely different set of people than, say, would be walking into the Repton gym, perhaps.
Absolutely. I mean, a year after I retired, well, the year after I retired, it was fantastic. Not having that discipline anymore, not having to watch my weight, not being that worried about having a drink or eating a burger, you know. I had a great year. And then once that year passed, I sort of... I'm a young man. I wanted to get busy. I wanted to do something, and I still wanted to stay involved in the sport in some capacity. And you know, I thought I could do it. You know, from the fitness side of things. You know, boxers are amongst the fittest athletes in the world, and I thought, look, why don't we? When I say we, it's my business partner Ryan Pickard. He's the club captain at Repton. I've known him for years. Why don't we open up a chain of gyms? You know, where we're authentic. We will give clients our knowledge, our teaching. You know, what we've learned through the years of boxing. We'll pass that on. We've hired a number of coaches that have been there, done it. We've got some really good coaches, and it's just a place where you can get fit. You can learn to box. You can you can, you can compete even. We're not training fighters and such, but we just did a white collar show the other day in aid of Movember charity. And yeah, I mean, just, it's great. I'm really loving the gyms at the minute. I got one in Allgate and one in Paddington. And if anyone wants to get fit or wants to try their hand at boxing without getting punched in the face, then yeah, 12 Threes is the place for you.
So do you spend a bit of time there yourself? Or?
Yeah, I've been down this stairs. Yeah, I'm stood at the Paddington gym at the minute. I'm just, yeah, I've been down there today making sure it's all running okay. Not that I'm the most busy man out there, but, you know, I'm learning on the job and, yeah, it, you know, I'm buzzing at the minute. You know, we've got a real bunch of people down here. And they're not just gyms either, and I don't want to sound too cheesy, but they're clubs, you know. It's, yeah. It's a place where you can come and you can belong and sort of all the clients know each other. And, yeah, it's brilliant, mate.
Fitness goals are one of the most kind of common New Year's resolutions you hear. What sort of advice would you give people looking to kind of turn things around to kick off 2019?
You know, just set goals, you know, stick to them. That's the main thing, I think. You know, when you set your mind to something, it's a very, very powerful thing. But it's so easy to give up on certain things. And I think it's just, you know, when it comes to sort of sticking to resolutions and all that, set goals, it's sticking with them. And, you know, if anyone wants to get down at the gym, come down and we'll help you set them goals. It sounds a bit like an advert for the gym, but it's not. You know, what I found with boxing, you're not just getting fit, you're also learning something. You're learning another language, and that helps. It, you know, when you're setting goals, it helps if they're interesting. And yeah, boxing, learning out the box is.
Darren, am I right in thinking that you're offering Off the Canvas podcast listeners 90% off? Is that right?
I'll tell you what I will do. I'll run a competition. If anyone can tell me who. I'm trying to think of a question. Someone tell.
You got to think of something you know first.
Yeah, true. That's hard, but you've been 3 years. There's not many brain cells left. I'll tell you what. If anyone comes in the gym and I'm there and says Off the Canvas podcast, just that, they will get a free session with myself.
Great. I'll see you down there then. I'll do that.
Yeah. All right. you got that disease, what they call short arms, long pockets, didn't you?
You know it, mate. You know it. Christmas is hard, buddy. Christmas is hard. Darren Barker, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for talking to Off the Canvas podcast. Brilliant stuff.
My pleasure, mate. My pleasure.
Finally, after all these episodes, we can offer you, our listeners, something in return for sticking with us. Very generous from Darren there. Now, if you are finding Christmas tough this year, or perhaps you don't know the best way to deal with the festive period, help is at hand. Please visit www.calmzone.net for more information. And thanks again for listening to the Off the Canvas podcast.